Well, what do you know?
Welcome to an encore performance of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? From Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know? We bite off more than we can chew with Gulp author Mary Roach. Plus, we find Michael's long-lost cousin during a round of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know? Comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man whose new songs is Use for Yeezus, it's Michael Feldman.
Use for Yeezus. Oh, that's a good one. Okay.
And, of course, if something bad comes out of this speech, it would be Brandenburg Gate. That'd be pretty cool. Well, the meeting with Putin didn't go so well when the president opened with a Super Bowl ring joke. You know? It wasn't only that Putin took the Super Bowl ring, he was wearing it around his neck, which is really surprising. Okay, the House eliminates abortion, except in the case of Democrats. The plan to lasso an asteroid is shot down by the No Ways and No Means Committee. Of course, the Taliban negotiations, after shaking hands, remember to check all your extremities. Putin leaves the G8 summit with three Rolexes and a Louis Vuitton bag. Vuitton?
Vuitton?
Vuitton. Vuitton. That's what I meant to say. The NSA director testifies before the House Intelligence Committee, then has to kill them. The House Intelligence Committee. That's a tough committee to staff. NATO hands Afghan security off to the Iraqis. Obama tells Berliners, "Ich bin eine Farfenugen." That's what I would do. Just, you know, start off with a joke. Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski backs same-sex marriage because anything is better than Vern. That'll kill him up there. Dolce and Gabbana sentenced to jail for one bad pair of frames too many. Well, I'm sorry, those of you wearing D&G. Love Dolce, hate Gabbana. That's just the way I feel about it. Thank you. Someone's got the giggles. Someone's got the giggle. I love it. And where was it? Miley Cyrus says the pot is for the cataracts. So young to have them. Well, the AMA says obesity is a disease, but large boned is a roll of the dice. Undocumented workers to install 700 miles of border fence. You have to be on the other side of it, of course, when you're doing it. It's going to be tricky at points. It's a good start, but it'd be nice to fence the coasts in case they come by sea, you know. So it's Atlantic and Pacific fence would be really nice. One does have the sneaking suspicion all the border agents are to keep us in. However, huh? Thoughtful piece there. That'll you think about that on the drive back to wherever you're going. Paula Deen's N-word is NutraSweet. Paula's Apple Brown Betty has been expunged from the Food Network recipe book. So. There are ramifications. Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke will turn up in Hong Kong next. Yeah, I know. It's not for everybody. I joke. Not for everybody. I like to make little notes on these, so if I ever do this again. Supreme Court, defend your own damn marriage, I say. Especially you, Clarence. Iceland now has thermal springs, blondes, and year-round Snowden. For those whose brains aren't, comes the 3D brain. That's pretty good. And a 3D printer prints a 3D printer, which prints, and so on. Better joke in print. 3D print, it'd be great. It would come right at you. The girl from Ipanema barricades, latest from Jobim. Okay, a nothing. That's just my first nothing response. It's pretty good. It's like the end of it, practically. So that's not so bad. And Kanye's new song, Yeezus, is just all right with me. That's all the news that is, and thank you so much. And nothing is there she goes. Smiles, dances, and out with me. I was just getting started, man. I cut it off, right? Mary Roach is online with us from Oakland, California. Hi, Mary. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Got another one-worder here for a one-word book.
We done it again with the one-worder.
Done it again. Has this long been a fascination of yours, the Alimentary Canal and its ramifications?
I like to eat, but I guess I seem to be fascinated with the cruder elements of the human body.
You do. You've shown that before.
I'm, there's a little bit of the 12-year-old boy inside me.
Yeah. And in doing all this, now you've studied this from one end to the other, basically. Is there one thing that stands out as the most shocking discovery you made on the Alimentary Canal?
Shocking. Well, I don't know if this is shocking. This was gently surprising.
Okay. That's better.
People have two sets of nostrils. You have a set of internal nostrils.
Oh.
In the back of your mouth, they're called the internal nostrils. So there.
That's a lousy name for them. They should have their own name anyhow. They are in the back of your neck? Where are they, around the epiglottis around there or something like that?
Yeah, they're in the back of the mouth. So you can, when you chew your food or drink your wine, or your gin, in my case, the aromas go up into the nose so you can thereby appreciate them more fully. So you should be thankful
for
your internal nostrils.
You smell it twice.
And you smell it twice.
Smell it again later, actually, too, so it's three times. Three smells per meal. There's been a lot of, tasting food, they say tasting food is not tasting, it's smelling, or that it's even seeing, or that it's hearing, right?
Yeah.
Where do you fall on this?
Yeah, that's true. The hearing thing is kind of cool. There's this study they did, those people, they gave people potato chips, and they had them chew them up, and they had to rate their freshness. And if they put headphones on them, and they secretly, it's like the old Sanka ad. They see like secretly, we've changed the frequency of the sound of these potato chips. So they mask the higher frequency, or they make the chips quieter. And now people will say, oh, these potato chips are stale. These are no good. Mm-hmm. So you are kind of eating with your ears.
Yeah. So is that the primary sensation we have when we're eating? We want to get the right crunch, right?
Yeah, you want the crunches. Crunch is important, I guess, evolutionarily, if that's a word.
It is now.
Yeah. you tend to want to eat crisp, crunchy fruits and vegetables because they're fresh. They're not stale or mushy or rotten or awful. So we're programmed to kind of like crispy, crunchy, and then the snack food people have capitalized on that by making optimally crispy, crunchy foods that, unlike fruits and vegetables, don't have a lot of nutrition, but there you go.
Okay. I'm going to just throw some things at you. There's so much ground covered in your book there. Can I just throw some things at you and get a feedback from you?
Throw them.
Noxious flatus.
Yeah.
Not a Roman emperor.
Did you want me to comment?
Yeah, no,
on
yeah, not just flat, not the joke so much, but that's the best I've done so far this morning, actually.
I like the pay up the wazoo as you go or whatever. That was good.
Thank you. Yeah. Noxious flatus. I mean, what can you explain what that is and why and what that means?
Yes, that is smelly gas.
Smelly gas.
Smelly gas. Okay, and that is because
normal.
That is normal. It's because of hydrogen sulfide, which is a breakdown product of meat, red meat, cruciferous vegetables, your cabbage, your kale, your broccoli, all those.
Oh, yeah.
Those give you the smelly component. Most of your farts are not smelly. Hydrogen,
no,
methane.
I keep saying that.
As long as I've known you.
Yes. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's actually a bouquet, isn't it? There's several chemicals involved.
Yes, there is. There's several chemicals. There's three or four of the sulfur compounds that are making things smelly. And there are things that one could do if one was so inclined, although I don't really see why one would be so inclined.
Yeah.
But because most people really have no objection to the smell of their own when you get right down to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are pills that somebody came up with, and there are special charcoal-lined underwear pads. There are cushions that you can put on your office chair. However, the gastroenterologist that I thought had the best solution was a guy named Dr. Mike Jones, and he said, when I get patients who tell me that they've got a problem with this, I say, get a dog.
And blame the dog.
And blame the dog.
Yeah, no, that works for me. Tina is terrible gas. My puggle. Before we leave this particular subject, how come men do and women don't?
What, have smelly gas?
I mean, have any. Admit it. Men seem to be the only ones who admit it in the universe that we know of. Is that true? Has that been verified? Or?
Well, supposedly women have a slightly higher concentration of hydrogen sulfide, so they supposedly smell a little worse, but I'm not buying this.
No.
I'm just not. It has mostly to do with what you eat, so I think it's kind of hogwash. But anyway, the men make up for this with the larger than average volume of each passage, I believe.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. What did you say? I was trying to stifle one. Okay, all right. Okay, let's leave that because that's neither here nor there. Stomach snakes.
Yes.
Interesting.
Stomach snakes and stomach frogs and stomach slugs.
Mostly amphibians in the stomach or reptiles?
Yeah. This is mostly in the 1800s. Mm-hmm. When people didn't have much of an understanding about what was going on in their interior, and they would interpret pain and rumblings and weird sensations, they would become convinced that they had swallowed some frog or snake eggs and that they had hatched inside them. And you would find these case reports in the medical literature of people who supposedly had a frog living inside them for years and years. And then there, one enterprising physician had an idea of how to debunk this. He took because sometimes the patients would actually come in and say, look here, this is the frog. And I found it one morning in my living room, and I believe this is the one that was inside me, and it must have escaped. And so he looked inside the frog and found partially digested insects, which suggested that, in fact, the frog had not spent the last 3 years inside a human stomach.
Unless the man ate insects as well.
You're just going to be difficult, aren't you?
No, I'm just saying there are possibilities. But, I mean, because there's that boy who coughed up all those frogs, right? That's the record holder for frogs and newts and toads.
Yeah, there was that boy. I forget what the number was, but that was, And that whole, there's the song, the old lady who swallowed the fly.
Oh.
And that was why.
Good. That was a reference I was trying to get in there.
Yeah.
Okay. Alka-Seltzer rockets.
Alka-Seltzer. This is a serious topic. If you tend to overindulge in a very vigorous way, and then you feel horrible and you overdo with Alka-Seltzer, see, this is when you can be in danger of bursting the stomach, because the gas produced by too much Alka-Seltzer could rupture the stomach. It's very hard to burst a human stomach, but if you really want to do it, Alka-Seltzer is the way to go, and you need only consult the internet and see the Alka-Seltzer rocket videos that are out there.
Yeah. Is there an actual rocket involved in that, or is that just an expression?
Yeah, NASA is involved in this.
NASA,
yeah.
Okay.
It, No, it's just that you can do it with a little film canister, and you can put the Alka-Seltzer in, and the top will blow off, and it's very dramatic.
Okay, is this the same thing that you reference in blowing the roof off the hog barn?
No, that has to do with the combustibility of hydrogen and methane, which are the two largest components of flatus, or flatus, as you like to say.
Yeah, is it flatus?
I don't know. I think it's either.
Okay.
I say flatus, you say flatus.
Okay, that's blowing around. Okay, and that's methane. Now, we have so many cows here in Wisconsin, we take them for granted, but they are, and the methane they produce actually could be. I always thought if we could hook them up to tubes or something somehow. But which end would you actually hook up on a cow?
You would hook up. Yes, this is. This is a question a lot of people would get wrong, but not me, and not you. The front end, you would hook it up to the front end. They're not actually blowing it out the rear, like us.
No. So they're burping or belching methane.
But they have a special adaptation where they can kind of shift around the machinery in their neck, and they gently exhale. They just exhale it. They're not even burping. Because have you heard a cow burp?
No.
Well, all right,
I'm not
then.
That close to cows. Bunnies, I probably would hear that if they did.
Bunnies do other interesting things.
Yeah, they do, and my puggle is very fond of them as a result. There is nothing like a good bunny poop, according to Tina.
Yeah.
And you would agree with that, because I read in the book that that's actually still good stuff.
There's good eating there.
There's good eating there. That's what they say. Yeah.
The bunnies themselves will re-ingest it.
Right.
Okay.
And we'll come back to that. But, one of the things that aren't the cow's stomach is kind of a miracle of nature, isn't it? I mean, they have more than one. But
Yeah. They have a huge, the main stage is the rumen, and that is a...
The rumen, yeah.
The rumen. It's like a giant composter, and you can go to an agricultural school, and if you're lucky, there'll be one of those fistulated cows, which has the hole in the side. And
we got one here.
You got one?
Yeah, at UW, yeah.
Have you ever stuck your arm in there?
No. It's just, no.
Live a little.
That's an exit.
No, not in that end.
Oh, okay.
No. They cut a hole in the side right by the rumen, and then you can while they're eating, you can put your arm in there, and I did this, and feel that.
Why would you do that?
Well, because I'm a curious gal.
Okay. And if you put your arm inside a cow while it's ruminating, what do you feel exactly?
It's a great big composter, so you feel a lot of heat. It's very hot in there.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, it's there's these powerful contractions, so it's kind of industrial feeling. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
The cow is utterly bored the entire time.
Can they actually digest the magnets?
The magnets?
The cows eat anything, metal stuff, and then they put magnets in there to gather it all up. But then what happens to the magnets?
The first stomach is the one where the magnets are.
Okay.
And then I don't think they're not in the rumen. It's hard to digest a magnet.
Because you're a farm girl, aren't you? Didn't you grow up on a farm?
I grew up in New Hampshire, but we didn't have any cows.
Okay.
No.
Let's talk about the Fletcher thesis for a while. This is the guy who believed in mastication.
Yes, that's right.
He made mastication a household word.
Yes, hypermastication. Vigorous, lengthy mastication. Lots and lots of mastication.
Mastication.
Chewing.
Yeah, and he must have been just fun to be around, because he would chew. He chewed a leek like 700 and something times.
722 times.
Yeah.
Yeah, Horace Fletcher... he had this idea that he was a nutritional economist. That's what he called himself, and he believed that if you chewed the food incredibly thoroughly, you would extract more benefit from it, more calories and more protein and whatever else was in it. So you could then eat only half as much of it, thereby saving money. So he had this idea that the nation could save. You could basically cut the budget by having poor people. Eat half as much at these soup kitchens and things like that. So he was a kind of an unusual welfare reform in person.
Yeah. Was he at Harvard? Is that where he was?
His papers wound up at Harvard. Oh. He himself didn't go there, but he left his papers to Harvard, and they dutifully have kept them, and they are there. And I went and spent an afternoon. And Horace Fletcher, it was maddening because he was such an efficiency buff that he had typed on both sides of the page and with no margin, so the papers were just crammed with this. And, you know, and it, not terribly interesting either, but... Mm-hmm. Anyway, but he had friends in high places, and the Fletcherizing was a pretty surprisingly big fad in the United States. Yeah. Franz Kafka was a Fletcherizer.
That's no kidding.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, that explains a lot of things. Then, in the Brits, do they still don't care for Eskimo food? Is that true?
They've probably become a little more adventurous, but they were the Brits. In polar exploration, were done in partly by their refusal to eat the way the locals would eat and to partake in what the locals would eat, which was a lot of organ meats and unsavory, frightening bits and pieces of marine mammals. But those bits and pieces were the most nutritious, and so the locals do quite well up there, and the Brits would perish.
Yeah.
Up there and down there, we're talking both poles.
Yeah.
There were, but mostly in the north, where you have the people eating the various organ meats.
Yeah, and well, they did better in adapting in India. Apparently, they seemed to like the curries and so forth.
They did. They accepted the curries. I don't know why they couldn't accept the raw caribou kidney and things like that.
Yeah.
They seemed to have trouble with that.
Which brings up the whole question of revulsive food, or food revulsions and stuff. We can't seem to agree on what is revulsive. Are there some universally revulsive things to eat?
It seems that there are not. I think if you take any edible, safe substance, you will find a culture somewhere that thinks it's just the best thing to order on the menu. Mm-hmm. We're talking fermented cow urine is a condiment in Sudan. That just came to mind. They're just a tremendous variety of parts of the beast that you or I wouldn't go near that other cultures are like, give me that. That's the best part.
Okay. But then the feeling of revulsion, taste revulsion, that is a human characteristic. But what causes it is entirely cultural?
Yes, that's right. In the United States, we are particularly squeamish about organ meats. We export some, I have the figure in the book, it's a crazy amount of brains and organ meats and lips and tails. We really are we eat a very small sliver of the animal, and other countries import those from us. And it's just you grow up, but when you're a little kid, you come into the world, you don't have any sense of what is disgusting. And this was proved by this psychologist who studied disgust. His name was Paul Rozin, and he did this experiment where he presented kids, 16 to 29 months, I think they were, and he put in front of them a variety of disgusting foods, including artificial dog dew crafted from peanut butter with Limburger cheese for the odor. And he presented that as dog dew. And 55% of the kids ate the dog dew. 38%, I think, ate the sterilized grasshopper. Whatever it was, they had no sense of this is not good to eat. I won't go near it. But as they get older, around a few years old, they start to eat the way their parents eat. They eat the way the people on TV eat. Mm-hmm. So
if your parents eat dog dew, you will too, basically.
That's right. You can continue eating dog dew throughout your adult life.
Pig testicles at Ball State. You want to deal with that? You're lying here.
Yeah. I was trying to figure out, are there any culture, is there any food that no one will go near? And what about the genitalia? Who eats that? And I came upon this woman, Deanna Petricelli, I believe, Puricelli or something. Anyway, I was. She said, yes, indeed, we are working on a project to introduce the public to pork testicles. Mm-hmm. And she turned out to work at Ball State University, which I like very much.
You gotta like that. How far has this gotten? Still in the planning stages?
I need to check back in with her and see what's up.
That's so they'd use the final. Now, doesn't that go into? That must go into something. That must be used by someone somewhere. one would think.
Well,
because others are, you know, other types.
Yeah, you have your novelty festivals with testicles. Out in Wyoming.
Testicle festivals? Are there, I guess there are, because, you know, mountain oysters and all that.
Rocky Mountain oysters, that's right.
They're very good. People like those. Well, we had them on stage when we were in Oklahoma or someplace, and we had a jar of them. And I said, anyone want to come up and join me? All women came up. Three or four women. No guy would come up and eat them. So, you know, make of that what you will. That was kind of strange. Cat crack.
Yeah, cat crack. Yeah. Pyrophosphates.
Now, that's really, this is interesting because it deals with science, but sort of marketing, I guess.
Well, the people who make pet food have kind of an interesting challenge. They have to create something that is appealing both to the dog or cat and also to the owner of the dog or cat, who's the one who's opening the can or the bag. Mm-hmm. And if it smells like a dog will go crazy over the smell of, say, putrescine, cadaverine. These are compounds of decomposing protein. The dogs are like, ah, give me that. But the owner,
that was good.
Was that good?
Yeah.
The owner doesn't want anything to do with it, so they have to find something
in between
that smells good to both parties. Taste isn't so important.
And for cats, what is this compound exactly?
Okay, yeah. So pyrophosphate is this compound that it's been referred to as cat crack. It's a taste that cats love, and we can't taste it. I tried there was a little bottle of it at the company that I was at, and I asked to try it, and it doesn't taste like anything. It's water with a little strangeness to it, but cats love it. So there's all kinds of interesting differences between people and
where does
cats.
It come? Where does it come from, and what does it simulate for a cat?
Nobody knows what nobody knows why they like it or what it tastes like for them.
Yeah.
They just know they love it.
They can't resist it, huh?
They can't resist it.
Yeah.
You
know
what
I found?
Put that on anything and a cat will eat it.
You know what I sort of found? I mean, most of this research is very interesting, and the people are totally into it and stuff, but it was kind of, the spit researchers were kind of sad, I thought, because no one respects their discipline.
It's true.
Yeah.
Spit gets no respect.
No.
It deserves a lot of respect.
Are there a lot of people in spit?
I only found one.
Uh-huh.
I found one dead one from years ago.
Oh.
Erwin Mandel had devoted his life to spit.
The father of spit.
The father of spit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I found a beautiful Italian woman, Erica Saletti, mm-hmm. who is an expert in saliva, and it's tough for her. She went to a conference once with a bunch of dental people, and she said she came back to her room and called her boyfriend in tears, saying, "They think of it as moistening, and that's all."
Yeah. Yeah.
It does so much more for you.
It does.
It does.
What is her research aimed at as far as spit goes?
They're trying to understand...
Spit.
Spit. Yes. Well, also, I think, you know, when if something goes wrong with your spit machinery, because if you don't have, if you can't make your own saliva, you're in a world of trouble, because when you eat or drink anything acidic, it will, without saliva to dilute the acid, and which it does very effectively. If you take a sip of red wine and you're paying attention, you'll feel this gush of saliva coming in like the cavalry. It's to dilute the acid and protect your tooth enamel. So it's pretty, when you don't have saliva, your teeth start to fall apart. So they need to know how to recreate, you know, create artificial saliva. And part of it is just, you know, understanding the body. Mm-hmm. Always a good thing.
So nothing, in other words.
That's why
there's
only one.
You can't really advance the science because it's, you know, it's not really a complex substance. Spit, is it chemically? What is it?
Yes, it is. It's got antibacterial stuff. It's got antiviral. Oh. It's got histatins, which help close wounds. If you keep a mouse from licking its wounds, they won't heal as quickly. Oh. And wounds in your mouth heal faster than wounds on your skin. There's all kinds of amazing stuff in saliva.
Well, is
you
that...
must respect saliva, Michael.
I'm sorry. Now I have more respect for it, even as we speak. It's no longer spittle to me, I'll tell you that. But is this at all related to the thing now I was talking about, babies pacifiers, if the parents suck on it? Is that the saliva transfer that somehow gives them added autoimmunity or something like that?
I haven't heard that, but it makes sense because that this is the new thing now, all kinds of bodily fluid transplants.
Yes.
Yes.
Like Elton John and that sort of thing.
Did Elton have a fluid transplant?
No, I don't know. No, Elton John is the one who, I'm thinking of Prince Charles.
I don't know where you're going with that.
I don't either, but I don't know. Elton John was the one who would eat food and spit it out, right?
Oh,
and that's how he lost it?
Well, he didn't. He was, somebody put in one of the tabloids that he was doing, it's an eating disorder called chew and spit. Yeah, where you don't swallow, you chew it and you spit it out.
Right.
Kind of a catch and release scenario.
But he doesn't, or he didn't.
No, he doesn't. He won the lawsuit.
Okay.
Yeah, he doesn't do it, but they said he did.
Prince Charles, I guess, was the colonic irrigation guy, dude.
Yeah, did Prince Charles is a fan of the enema?
That's what I heard, yes.
Oh, is that right? You didn't hear that from me, though.
No. Did you hear any of that? It's true of royalty in general, isn't it? They tend towards that.
They tend toward that. There was one of the Georges, I think. I don't know. George II. I don't know.
Maybe the third.
Probably the third. He was one of the... He loved, whichever number. He loved them so much, he gave them to his dogs. His dogs would get enemas, too.
Ooh. Well, that's a dead-end conversation, isn't it?
That's
the problem with this book. A lot of it is stuff that you can't really talk about in polite conversation, yet it's fascinating.
And yet, here we are.
And here we can read it to ourselves and go, oh, boy, how about that there? The straining at stool theory. Okay. Elvis's demise is in here, and it's maybe, not something we can just glance over right at the moment now, but that was pretty shocking as well.
That was shocking and sad. I was going to say, it's a moving story.
Or not. Yeah. Yeah. And just one more thing. Can an alligator fight its way out of a python?
It cannot. But there are photographs that make it appear as though it can. But no, once you're... what is amazing to me is that a python can take down an adult alligator. Mm-hmm. Those suckers can really... pull in the large game. So, but once you're in there in a python,
you're done.
You can't move. So there's no way you could kick your way out. But the photographs that people have seen and on the internet it was a complicated story of a pre-existing weak spot in the python.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So too, a man swallowed by a whale or a tiger shark, is he done?
Because
they swallow them whole, right? There's no chewing.
Like a sperm. Okay, the best whale, if you're going to be swallowed by a whale, the best one is a sperm whale because they feed by suction. They don't chew their food. They just pull it in. And the opening is big enough that a man could fit through into the stomach compartment.
Yes.
Comfortably. And let's say he's got an oxygen tank because he's been scuba diving. So he's got some oxygen, okay, and there's no gastric acid in this particular stomach, so that's good.
Yeah, and he has a smartphone or something for entertainment.
And he's got a smartphone. Uh-huh, yeah, and he's downloaded some things to watch. So he's all right. The only problem is that whales tend to chew their food with their stomach. They have a lot of powerful stomach contractions, so wouldn't be very comfortable.
But conceivably, he could get... Has it been documented now where a man has survived that situation?
Yeah, no, there was a story that made the rounds by about a guy named James Bartley, and supposedly he was found inside a sperm whale. But that's been debunked, sadly.
That's been poo-pooed,
yeah.
Okay. Well, that's disappointing, actually. Any of these outrageous things that actually happen, swallowed by things and things crawling out of things or having snakes in your stomach?
All
undocumented?
There was the most persistent myth these days is that the mealworm will eat its way out of the stomach of your pet reptile or frog or whatever it is. And I witnessed with a urethral endoscope, which is a very skinny tube that with a light and a camera. I was in a lab where they put that down into the stomach of a lizard and a frog that had just eaten a live mealworm. And there was no truth to it. The mealworm does not eat its way out of the stomach. But that was the best contender for somebody who could live in there and make their way out.
Okay, well.
Yeah.
I guess that's a spoiler. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
If you're going to read Gulp. But Elvis is still in there, and really it's worth getting just for that. Thank you, Mary Roach, as always. Look forward to the next one. By the way, are you going to Mars? And I noticed you packed for Mars. Are you going to go in this one way to Mars?
Oh, yeah. God, are you kidding me? No. No. I go to the moon, but not to Mars.
Especially you got to stay. That's a little weird, isn't it?
You got to stay. I know. Yeah. Well, some people, just think of it as immigration.
Yeah.
It's yeah.
We'll put it in the bill.
Extreme immigration.
We'll put it in the bill. Thank you, Mary Roach. Mary Roach, ladies and gentlemen. Gulp is the latest one. Read it. Get it and read it. Adventures on the Alimentary Canal. Yeah, there's a lot more in there. Okay, what you got here for us?
This is a kind of a beach song, kind of a, I don't know, say you're in St. Lucia or something on the beach. It's called Calypso.
Sounds good.
Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Ms. Sarah Nix. Ms. Rick Myers is here from New Glarus. He's retired and waiting for wife to do some. Same. Sorry. Where is Rick? Huh? Oh, hey, yeah, where are you? I see you. To do some. Same. Were you the guy I saw swimming across the lake before the show? Was he swimming this way towards or away? Oh, it wasn't me. Thanks for asking, though. And then there's Dave Dahl, who's from Winona, Minnesota. Hi. This camp, is it true? I have to go and meet this guy. Do you know, listen to this. I bought 25 pounds of gefilte fish on sale at Costco. Where is he again? Okay. Come on down here, will you? It'll be easier for you, probably. Is that the fish there? Would you bring it with you? Because you know you're coming to a Jewish guy's show. 25 pounds of gefilte fish? Do you know how much I mean, now you know. Do you know what it is?
There's carp in it.
Right, carp. And
other things from the water.
Whitefish, mostly bottom feeders. There's whitefish, carp, and I don't know, my mom put stuff in it, carrots.
Well, that's what I wanted to know.
Yeah.
Because there's
not. Why did you buy it, on a whim?
It was on sale.
Well, they're little round balls of chopped fish.
Yeah, it doesn't look like a fish, but it.
No, it's not. Like, a filter is actually not a fish. Did you think it was? When?
No, I think, I knew it wasn't an actual.
Have you had gefilte fish prior?
No.
So you're in Costco, and there's gefilte fish on sale. Is that...
Well, yeah, I had a 7 at the end, so somebody told me when there's a 7, it means it's on sale. Drastically reduced price.
If there's a 7, where do they put the 7?
At the end, yeah, like 97 cents.
It was 97 cents?
Well, it was like, I think it was like $4.97 for a half-gallon jar.
$5 for 20?
$4.97.
What are you going to do with it?
I want some ideas, yeah.
Give it to me. I like the stuff. You probably don't even hate it.
I've been just eating it out of the jar. You know, just like take it out of the fridge.
Well, you put horseradish on it, usually just to kill the taste.
Gelatin.
Horseradish.
Okay. All right.
But you only eat it on Passover or something like that. I don't think you can eat it on Passover. I don't think it's kosher for Passover. You can't eat it at all, really. There's no occasion worthy of gefilte fish.
I've been eating it just out of the jar. You know,
do you like it?
It's really cheap.
Thanks. Let's give him something to wash it down. Can we give him something?
Yeah.
Send him with it. He's going to need something.
Yeah, you can.
Thank you.
Can
pair, go back.
Yeah. You can pair your gefilte fish with wines from Wollersheim Winery, whose wines won all kinds of gold medals at last month's 74th annual Los Angeles International Wine and
Spirits. You get a bottle of wine to go with the fish. Is it white? Is it white wine? Yeah, go to the bathroom, man. You look pained. She said, I'm going to go to the bathroom as long as I'm standing up. We're going to play the What Do You Know quiz, because that's what we do here. So before we can do that, we have to know who can and cannot participate. So who got that four disclaimers? Oh, okay. Oh, I'm sorry. My fault. I get you stand right up here. And you are?
Yvonne Stoner.
Yvonne?
Mm-hmm.
Very nice to meet you. You want to take
nice
this?
Nice to meet you.
Take this, take it over, and face the jury.
All right. Here are the four disclaimers. All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Is there a rain date for the solstice? Persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. All opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Well done. Perfect. Thank you so much. Yvonne. Let's see the hands of those of you who want to try those hands at the What Do You Know quiz. So stop applauding for a moment and raise your hand if you want to play the quiz because you think, by gosh, I can do that. Okay, no one thinks that, apparently. He does. Good man. Good man. I knew you'd come in handy. Come on down to this aisle here and let's see your tax returns, first of all.
My tax return?
Yeah, Manya.
No, I don't even file them anymore.
You don't file them?
No.
They're going to catch up with you, you know.
No, they won't.
Why not?
I can hide in Singapore.
And you are? Your name, I mean.
Oh, my name. Okay. Bill.
I wasn't trying to diagnose you, you know.
Okay. Bill.
Bill?
Mm-hmm.
Just go with the Bill?
If you want to.
Okay. Bill? Are you from around here, Bill, or?
Oh, no. I don't talk like I'm from Wisconsin, do I?
Pretty much.
Oh, I do? No.
Yeah, we all talk like that. Yep.
Colorado, Fort Collins.
Fort Collins, Colorado. We always applaud everywhere. Okay. Bill, give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
Because I know absolutely nothing.
Perfect. You're perfect. You couldn't be more perfect. And I like the way you're dressed. You're casual. Dressed casual. Come on up here, Bill. Have a seat right there, if you will. Is that gonna? You're not gonna trip on that?
Probably.
What's that cord hanging? Don't touch any of my equipment.
No.
What's that cord hanging out?
It's not your junk, though.
Stop it. Or I'll send you back to the audience. It's never been done, but it could happen. What's the cord hanging out there for? What do you put on that?
My keys.
There's no keys on it, though.
The other end.
Oh, the other end. Oh, but I like you already, Bill. I feel like I've known you all my life.
We have.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where did we first meet, do you think?
I'm your cousin.
You're the one we don't talk about.
No, you're the one we don't talk about.
Well, you win that exchange, Bill, but I'll get back at you later. So how are you? Are you on vacation now, or?
Yeah, permanent vacation.
Oh, permanent vacation. Okay.
Is this retired.
Retired. What did you retire from?
44 years of teaching.
44 years of teaching. Mm-hmm. Wow. Same grade all that time?
No, I got promoted once in a while.
Where did you end up? What grade did you end up in after 44 years?
College.
College? And what do you teach?
Mathematics.
Mathematics, right. Has it changed much over the years?
No. Despite what Congress does, 1 + 1 is still 2.
Yeah. Is this higher math? Did you teach higher math?
Was higher than in third grade math, yes. In college.
What is higher math?
It's when you go up to the second floor and you can you're in with all the big shots.
Okay. Was math always your love, even as a child?
Oh, no, I wanted to be a fireman.
Fireman? What kept you from it?
I was afraid to climb a ladder.
Did you try try to master that fear?
To master the fear? Oh, no. No, never.
No. No. Could you, are the firemen just stay on the ground with the hoses?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I could do that part.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it didn't work out?
No.
So then did you go straight to math from firemen, or did you, was there something in between?
Well, I tried babysitting first.
Babysitting?
Yeah.
So the fireman didn't work out, you went to babysitting.
Yeah.
Pretty much the same.
And that didn't work out, so I went to education.
Education. And you were trained at a school of education?
No, I was trained to be a preschool babysitter. Yes. But it's the same thing.
Same thing.
Same training.
Yeah. And then straight to math teaching then after the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was 12 at that time.
You were 12. So you were a prodigy at one time.
I don't know what that means.
Well, then you weren't, because you would have known what it meant if you were a prodigy. That goes without saying. Well, it's nice to have. And are you on? I know you're on permanent vacation, but is this a tour or something? Are you seeing?
Well, we came to visit our friends, and they said we were going to go see Garrison Keillor.
And this is the best you could do, huh?
Yes.
On short notice.
He was sold out.
Oh yeah. If this weren't true, it would be very funny, I think. Yeah, okay. That's too bad. Well, thanks for falling back on this position here.
Yeah. The donuts were good. I didn't know that's what all my contributions were going for. Yeah. Donuts and coffee here in Madison, Wisconsin.
Yeah, all your public radio contributions. Yeah.
I thought it meant paying you a salary or something.
No. We get paid nothing.
Okay.
We get paid in leftover donuts and... coffee and such.
There's not many left because I had five.
Did you? Well, we cut them in half. Did you have five halves or did you have five?
That's a math question. I don't know that.
I want to shake your hand. Thank you very much, Bill. Okay, Bill, I'd love to talk to you all day, but it seems like I have already. So I think we're going to play the quiz now. Someone out there plays along with you. It's a general knowledge quiz.
General knowledge?
General knowledge.
I've never been in the military.
Not trivia, because it's my life, so I want you to know the difference there. And someone out there calls in. How do they do that, Sarah?
They pick up the phone and dial 1-800-942-5669, and you ask them a qualifying question.
Here's the question. You are not going to like the way you look anymore. I guarantee it. Why? That's the question, and I'm asking it of Jonas in Pennsylvania. Hey, Jonas.
Oh, hey.
How are you?
Doing good.
You're going to have to pronounce the name of the town that you're in.
Bala Cynwyd.
Bala Cynwyd?
Yep, that's the name.
Cynwyd is spelled Cynwyz?
Yep.
That's something you could have said, Bill.
I hope she's smart from that town.
Yeah. Jonas, you are not going to look like the way you look anymore, I guarantee it. Why?
Oh, what's the question?
That's it. It's from a TV commercial.
Could you repeat that, please?
Yes, you are not going to like the way you look anymore, I guarantee it. Why?
You're not going to like the way you look anymore, yeah. I guarantee it.
Yeah, that's...
Why?
Uh-huh. From it's
and
really...
It's,
from a TV.
And it's from a commercial?
A TV commercial, yes. Jonas, do you know Bill from any... You guys should know each other.
All right. You're not going to like
yeah.
the way you look.
Is it perhaps the men's warehouse commercial with the older gentleman on there who's been on every commercial for all these years?
Let's see. You're not going to like the way you look anymore because...
Yeah, okay.
Need an answer.
Need an answer, yeah. No? Yes? No?
I have an answer.
Okay.
You... I believe you're not going to like the way you look anymore because you're getting older.
Yeah. No, sorry, that's not it. Thanks, Jonas. Bye. Molly's on. Molly's, Milwaukee. Molly, help me out here.
Men's Warehouse.
Okay, thank you, Molly. That was too easy. Molly, Bill, Molly.
Hello, Holly.
Molly, Bill, Smith, Bill.
Hello.
Okay, and we have various categories in this quiz. Hi, Molly, how are you?
I'm great.
Here they are.
Current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Molly, what would you like?
Things you should have learned in school.
Okay. Does the body make its own rotten egg gas? Should have learned that in school.
Yes.
No.
Yes or, and no?
No, it doesn't.
Well, what does Bill say?
He says, we heard him. He said no.
Oh, I didn't hear him.
Yeah, he said no.
Okay, no.
It's yes. Bill, you're ruining the whole show. Unbelievable. That would be...
Zero right and one wrong.
It obviously does. Anyone in school knows that. And,
the categories remaining are current events, people, places, science, or odds and ends.
Bill?
People and places.
People or places.
People are. Okay, places. I'm not good at math.
Can you be on every week? In Japan... If you refer to a woman as Tamago Kato no Kao, egg with eyes, is that good?
Well, it depends on how much it cost.
The egg?
Or something like that, yes. I would say that's probably not good.
Molly, you think that's actually a compliment? Tamago Kato no Kao, egg with eyes. Refer to a woman as an egg with eyes. Is that actually a compliment or not?
Yes.
She says it is.
Well, then she can be right.
Yes, she is right. That is a compliment. Okay. That's a good thing. So that's...
That is one right and one wrong.
Okay. And here's the deal now. We got one more chance to win this quiz because we're running short on time here. So you get this question right, I'm going to give it to you guys. And what's left?
Current events, people, science, or odds and ends.
Okay, Molly?
Current events.
Current events. Right out of the news. Work on this, Bill.
Okay.
Talk with your partner. The Asteroid Grand Challenge is not a dollar slot machine, but what? NASA's Asteroid Grand Challenge. In the news now.
They're looking for somebody to figure out a way to
shoot it down.
To what?
Shoot it down.
To shoot down the asteroids?
Yeah.
And perhaps to find out where they are first?
They're trying to figure out a way.
Yeah. So that's the grand challenge?
I guess. If you say so.
So to find out where the asteroids are and some way of dealing with them, is that what you're saying, Molly?
Yes. Yes.
Bill, would you have to agree with that?
I would agree with Molly.
That's right. That's it. The asteroid grand challenge. Holy cow.
Bill, although the cows on the corn course have returned to the pasture, it's still June Dairy Month, and you can celebrate with fabulous handcrafted cheeses from Fromagination on Madison's historic Capitol Square. Molly, welcome these early summer dawns with Steeper Brew's Breakfast Blend, and while away lazy afternoons with rich and smooth Costa Rican Terasu from Madison's Steeper Brew Coffee, that's coffee done right. And each of you may find health and happiness with a package of crunchy, funky monkey treats, uniquely freeze-dried to contain all the flavor and nutrients of fresh fruit, and get a complete education between the covers of What Do You Know? Test your knowledge with the ultimate collection of amazing trivia, quizzes, stories, fun facts, and everything else you never knew you wanted to know by Michael Feldman from Bristol Park Books. Congratulations to you both. What Do You Know? We'll be in the Columbus area next week for
for a show at the Otterbein campus. Guests include Lydia Lovelace, Coyote Peterson, and a whole lot more. For more information on tickets, click over to notmuch.com. What Do You Know returns to Monona Terrace on August 16th. Ticket and guest information is available at notmuch.com. Coming up in the next hour of What Do You Know, it's a Bayou Blast during our Town of the Week, plus another hilarious round of the What Do You Know quiz. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is our producer international. This is PRI, Public Radio International. Welcome back to an encore presentation of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, we head to Morgan City, Louisiana for our Town of the Week. We learn to hula dance, and we play around the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who's not about to defend his marriage, it's Michael Feldman.
Not about the wife? Oh. Okay, got that. Okay. All right, then. Each week at this time, we... memos.
That's right.
Memos, what it is. Actual memos from actual listeners. That's what I'm talking about. Thanks for the memos. And we do have this here. This is more of a submitted something or other. How to know if you grew up in rural Wisconsin. So I'm not, I know there's a lot of them. But you know you grew up in rural Wisconsin if you know how to polka but never tried it sober. You know what knee-high by the 4th of July means. You know what is traditional for the bride and groom to go bar hopping between the church and reception? That's good. You know the difference between green and red farm machinery and would fight with your friends on the playground over which was better. You buy Christmas gifts at Fleet Farm. You spent more on beer and liquor than you did on food at your wedding. You hear someone use the word oof-da and you don't break into laughter. You or someone you know is a dairy princess at the county fair. You know that combine is a noun. You let your older siblings talk to you into putting your tongue on a steel post in the middle of winter. You think Lutheran and Catholic are the major religions. You know that crick rhymes with pick. Football schedules, hunting season, and harvest are all taken into consideration before wedding dates are set. A Friday night date is getting a six-pack and taking your girlfriend shining for deer and then out for Friday night fish. Take your girlfriend shining for deer. That's good. Saturday, you go to your local bowling alley. There was at least one, if not several, in your class who had to help milk cows in the morning. You have driven your car on the lake in the summer as well, I would imagine. You can make sense of up north. Battery and Warsh. Every wedding dance you've ever been to has had the hokey pokey and the chicken dance. Your definition of a small town is one that only has one bar. The local gas station sells bait. You hear a bell ringing? Is that your phone? Isn't that cute? It's a chime. Can you chime them back later, maybe? At least twice a year, some part of your house doubles as a meat processing plant. You think that the start of deer season or the Packers going to the Super Bowl is a national holiday. And you actually understand these jokes and will forward them. Okay, so that's pretty much it. Oh, thank you for that. That was very cute. That was from Jim Bradshaw, who's from North Muskegon. Did you know there's a North Muskegon? I knew there was a Muskegon. Did you? Pretty cool. North Muskegon, probably a classier zip code or something in North Muskegon. And here's the actual memo sent in by an actual listener, an office memo. I won't tell you where it was sent, but it reads as follows. It is with great sadness that I inform you that Kim passed away last evening. As details concerning the funeral are known, I will share with the membership. Please keep Kim's family and friends in your thoughts and prayers. The chapter will send a card on behalf of the membership to the family. Regards. Email number 2, that same morning. Due to miscommunication from several sources, I was informed that Kim had passed away. I'm happy to let you know that information was incorrect, and she's doing fine.
I sincerely apologize to all, especially to Kim. Regards, the chapter president. Thank you very much for that, Mobo. It's nice to receive one like this, isn't it? Sort of. Yeah.
Poor Kim.
Poor Kim, yeah. But she's doing fine. So
good, good. What a relief.
Yeah, yeah. Where can they send those to?
They can send memos to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org, subject line memos, or they can go to notmuch.com and post it there.
Okay. And if they want to, let's say they're into the Twitter sphere.
Yes, they could tweet them to you.
Yeah, or they
140
could...
characters per tweet,
yeah.
Please.
Okay.
Your handle's at My Feldman.
Oh, it is?
Mm-hmm.
On the Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
escape.
On the Twitters.
I never know what to call those.
Yeah.
Well, you know, each week at this time, or hardly ever, but this week for sure, we honor a town, village, or burg. A town, a village, or a burg, or a piano player from somewhere across the U.S., picked by our dart to this rearranged map of the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And with our town of the week, here is Sarah Nix.
About halfway between New Orleans and Lafayette is where you'll find our town of the week, Morgan City, Louisiana. It's an island in the floodplain of the Atchafalaya River. The city calls itself a gumbo of the native African and European people who settled in the area.
What's that river again?
Atchafalaya.
That was so good. You said
thanks,
that.
Thanks. The island's strategic location gave the town a prominent role in the war between the states, after which it became a trade center for cypress, seafood, and fur. In the 30s, Morgan City became known as the jumbo shrimp capital of the world. In 1937, they held the first Louisiana Shrimp Festival. When the black gold rush hit the coast of Louisiana, Morgan City's economy boomed, and in the 60s, that annual festival was renamed the Shrimp and Petroleum Festival. I'm guessing that all of the city's 12,300 residents go to the festival every year for the Cajun Cooking Feast, the Arts and Crafts Fair, or the music. Morgan City's had a few brushes with fame. The island swamps were the backdrop for the filming of the first Tarzan movie. Old-time Cardinals...
Really?
Yep.
The silent movie?
Yep, 1917.
No kidding.
Yep. Old-time Cardinals pitcher Eddie Dyer is from Morgan City, or was from Morgan City, rather. So was Black Panther Geronimo Pratt, Olympic figure skater Burt Lankin, and football player Jermaine Jones. Visitors to Morgan City can stop by Mr. Charlie, which bills itself, quote, the only place in the world where the general public can walk aboard an authentic offshore drilling rig, end quote. If you're looking for a little sports action, check out the Morgan City High Tigers. Looking for Cajun food, there's Rita Mae's Kitchen, Lisa's Po' Boy Shop, and a host of other...
Slow down, you're going to bed. Oh. Rita Mae's what?
Rita Mae's Kitchen.
I'm trying to write all this down as you're saying it. Yes, Rita Mae's Kitchen. Yes.
Lisa's Po' Boy Shop.
Go hang on.
And?
Which do you recommend?
Probably Rita Mae's.
Rita Mae's.
And a host of other local spots.
Okay, good. Thanks.
And that's our town of the week. It's Morgan City, Louisiana.
Very nice. Very nice description of Morgan City. And we're calling randomly, or Lyle is right now calling randomly to Morgan City, looking for a Feldman somewhere in Morgan. That's what usually does. He starts with that for some reason. The odds are against it in most places. I think in Morgan City it would be unlikely that he actually will find a Feldman by dialing
it
randomly.
It is, in fact, a gumbo of the native African and European settlers.
Okay.
So there could be a Feldman in
something in,
that
in the gumbo. A Feldman in the gumbo, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
And, okay, he's got one here. Not a Feldman, Nelson Cortez in Morgan City, Louisiana. Hi, Nelson. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Very nice to speak with you. Thank you for speaking with us. We are honoring Morgan City, Louisiana, on our show today as our town of the week.
Yeah, well, we appreciate that.
Did you hear Sarah's description of same?
Yes, I did.
Anything on there that you want to alter or elaborate on?
Well, she came pretty close on pronouncing the name of the river. It's not Atchafalaya, it's Atchafalaya.
Atchafalaya.
Okay.
It sounded good, though.
Yeah, it did.
Atchafalaya. Is there a meaning to that word? Do you know what that might mean?
No, it's given credit to the Indian culture with some Indian meaning, but that's one of the things that I'm not quite sure of.
Yeah, yeah. Are you from there originally, or?
Yes, I'm a native.
You are, okay.
And so French and Spanish heritage.
Yes, okay, that's very cool. And are you in either the shrimp or the petroleum business yourself?
No, but I'm a member of the board of directors for the Louisiana Shrimp and Petroleum Festival.
Yeah. Who named that? I mean, is that at all a problem? And because tourists, seeing that, probably don't want their shrimp in petroleum.
No, they want their shrimp cooked in cooking oil, but not petroleum.
Yeah.
It started out as the Louisiana Shrimp Festival, the oldest chartered harvest festival in the state.
Wow.
After, you know, and then when the petroleum industry came along, the power that be just decided to add petroleum to it, because it's the two major industries that have changed the face, the economic face of Morgan City through the years.
Yeah. But it implies that the shrimp is somehow involved with the petroleum, so that's...
Well, you know, you need that gasoline, that diesel fuel to power those boats to go out and catch those shrimp.
That's true. That's a good point. What business are you in or field?
I'm a retired educator.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, 34 and a half years in the classroom.
High school? Grade school?
Yeah.
High school?
High school.
What?
Primarily juniors and seniors and upper-level business courses.
Oh, how cool. How cool. And now I understand you can actually go on an offshore rig there. Is that a restaurant, Mr. Charlie's?
No, it's actually it is the first offshore rig that was used in the Gulf. It is now moored on near the railroad track in a dock in Morgan City. It's actually used as a training facility.
Oh, I see.
By several of the local oil companies to train individuals on what it's going to be like to be on a rig for a length of time. Where you won't be getting off of it for as much as 28 days.
Yeah, well, cool.
But it is open for tours.
So you can go out and
read. It's open for tours, and the gentleman who does the tours does a remarkable job. When you come off of there, you know a little bit more than you did before you got there.
Yeah. Is it fun to grow up in Morgan City?
I felt it was. Yeah. You know, we're 6 miles north of the Gulf of Mexico, so if you want to do saltwater fishing, it's just an hour's boat ride away. If you wanted to do freshwater fishing, you almost just went a few blocks and you could find freshwater and fish. We have a fabulous freshwater lake, Lake Pulluard in Morgan City, which has a phenomenal campground attached to it. And so you have all the hunting and fishing that you could possibly want. And if you don't want, you know, catch the seafood or kill the game, there are numerous restaurants that you can go in and get some fabulous Cajun-style food.
Yeah. I bet the food is pretty good there, huh?
It is. Second only to New Orleans in my book.
Yeah. What do you like? What do you prefer? What kind of Cajun dishes do you prefer?
I like gumbo. Gumbo is my favorite. Any type of gumbo is one of my favorite foods.
Yeah.
And second to gumbo, I like, we have, in this area, we have blue crab. And I really enjoy any dish prepared with crab.
Yeah. Do you make your own gumbo? I understand people pass. You can inherit a roux from your parents, I guess. You pass on.
I don't cook.
You don't cook at all, huh?
I don't cook. All I do is if it's given to me in a bowl, I can microwave it. But I couldn't even begin to tell you how to make a gumbo. But I can tell you how to eat it.
Yeah. Is there a cook in your family at least that you can eat from?
Yes. Yes. My mother and father were both excellent cooks.
Yeah, how cool. Cool. Is that true about the roux, by the way, that gets passed on? I heard someone tell me that.
Yeah, it takes some time to learn how to master roux making, but it can be done.
Yeah, it can be done. And how is the shrimp this year, how the harvest and so forth? Good year?
Shrimp season is just kind of kicking off. It's two or three different seasons during the year, but the potential for the catch this year is supposed to be pretty good, provided we don't have any unwanted visitors in the Gulf in the form of tropical storms.
Yeah. How has it been pretty good so far as the storm situation?
We've only had that one little disturbance in the lower Gulf, actually Bay of Campeche, but everything else is fine.
Oh, good. Glad to hear it. And this festival, when is the festival itself?
It's held annually, Labor Day weekend every year.
On Labor Day weekend.
We kick it off on Thursday prior to Labor Day. And it runs Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, and it includes an extensive craft show, tremendous amount of food booths. We have in City Park, because the festival actually takes place in downtown Morgan City in the historic district, and we have music in the park beginning on Friday night and ending on Monday, Labor Day evening.
Yeah, that's fun. That sounds fun.
It is.
Now, if we were coming down there, Nelson, not necessarily for the festival, but we were just coming down there, what's the one place you would want to take us that tourists wouldn't normally see, where the locals like to go or hang out, or a spot like that?
Lake Inn Park I was referring to earlier, has cypress trees, it has a beach, you're right on this big freshwater lake, you can swim, there's potentials to... rent craft to go out on the lake. Just walking in Morgan City downtown to the Atchafalaya River, it's a pretty It's a pretty big river, and it runs pretty fast, located between two small towns. That's an interesting thing as well. And then just walking through the historic district, we have buildings in our historic district that, you know, from the early, late 1800s to straight through to modern times.
Yeah. Now,
if we're
boating through the cypress groves and all that, do we have to worry about any large animals with teeth?
Yes, you will see quite a number of alligators. The alligator population is pretty extensive.
Yeah, but not to worry, right?
Not to worry. Now, if you get out the boat, you might have a problem.
So stay in the boat, you're no problems long as you're in the boat. So you just don't want to rock. You don't want to rock the boat, I guess.
No, it would not be a good idea.
Yeah, yeah. Have you ever done any snaring of gators or that sort of thing?
No, I just observe them from a distance. My father was an alligator hunter, and he's the largest alligator he killed was 12 feet long.
No kidding. Wow. Wow. Well, that's
and the largest one I've ever seen myself was 13 feet long.
Wow. So your father hunted alligators, and your parents both were great cooks, and you just decided that skips generations or something? You don't do any of that?
It skipped mine.
Do you have kids?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
No children.
We can't see if that skips yours to the next generation. Well, Nelson, thank you so much for speaking with us. It's really fascinating, and it's great to talk with you, and it sounds like a great place to be, Morgan City, and to visit. And we have a little something for you.
Yet Nelson will be sending you the pride of America's Dairyland in a scrumptious selection of 10 premium certified organic cheeses and butters from Lafarge, Wisconsin's Organic Valley family of farms.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks. Nelson Cortez, ladies and gentlemen, from Morgan City, our town of the week.
Oh.
I shouldn't give it to him because he always keeps the microphone. Oh, this is how we pick our town of the week. We have this that map where no state is where it should be because we kept hitting Nebraska as a bullseye, you know, on a map. Someone like to throw this dart and pick our town of the week for next time out? Nobody would. I could just go up there and pound. Yes, from our trivia team here, representing the Dunder Mifflin trivia team. Your name is?
Danny.
What is your trivia team, Danny?
Oh, that's a good question. It's
a name for those, right?
It's D-Pan Sexy Man at hotmail.com.
Okay, forget about it. We want to step up here and close your eyes now and spin around three times and release.
Make sure I'm facing this way.
Right. Jesus. No, a little more. Okay.
Yeah, no,
okay.
No.
No. To the right, a little right.
Oh, yeah, okay. Perfect.
Now throw it. Now throw it. Yes!
Yay!
Morgan City, Louisiana. And again, thank you very much. Somewhere in Alabama.
I think that's
here,
Georgia.
Here, you win this book, Gorgeous, by Paul Rudnick. Enjoy that. And what did he hit here? I don't know. What is it?
Is that Georgia?
Somewhere in Georgia. Looks like Sparta, near Lake Sinclair in Georgia.
Fantastic.
Huh? Are you excited about that? Holy cow. What a throw. Take it away, gentlemen.
One,
Michael Feldman.
All righty there. Melissa Voter, is it? Voter? As in voter? Is she here?
Just stepped out.
Oh, she stepped out. That door leads straight down to the lake, though. Did she take that one? That's quite a drop. It's at least 50, 60 feet. Okay. Here's what she does now. She deals with stupid people all day. She's a tech support specialist. And I think she'll be looking for something else pretty soon because it sounds, sounds like it's getting to her. All right, we'll find out if she ever gets back from that drop she's about to take. Rick Conrad from Manitowoc asks, has Clicks and Clacks retirement had any impact on your show? Yeah, we have two less listeners. Although I don't think they did anyhow. So it really has had no effect on my show whatsoever. And just wishing them the best in their retirement. Courtney Sikorsky markets toilet paper in Appleton. That's not an unusual job in Appleton. Everyone is flinging their toilet paper around in Appleton, trying to get you to buy it. Let's find out what it takes to market toilet paper. We don't call it toilet paper, do we?
We do call it toilet paper.
We do?
Yes, absolutely.
So isn't that's a development, though, isn't it, in the whole approach to toilet paper, calling it that?
Well, there's lots of research that goes into it, yeah. But toilet paper is where it's at.
For a while, it was bathroom tissue, and we didn't know what that was, and we're grabbing the Kleenex to wipe ourselves.
And that's why there's marketers in the world to help you.
Yes. When you're trying to sell toilet paper, what do you pitch? What do you stress? The number of plies?
Softness, luxury, like a luxurious experience.
Luxurious experience in what sense?
I'll let you figure that out.
Oh, this is luxurious. I'm going to do that again. Just the softness is equated with luxury.
Absolutely.
Are we going to see three or four plies in the future?
I'm not at liberty to tell you.
What about the, is it more absorbent than it used to be? Each ply more absorbent? There's made advances in absorbency?
We have made advances in absorbency. There's a lot of technology behind it, believe it or not. Yeah.
Are you Kimberly Clark or?
Maybe.
You can't. I actually saw, and they did a poll. They did a survey of people how they use the toilet paper, if they bunch or if they fold or if they just stick their finger through the paper. So apparently, there's a small minority who do that. Do you know that study I'm talking about?
I am aware of that. Yes.
Does that at all affect? Did you try to sell different types of paper to the folders or to the punchers?
It all goes back to the luxury piece, I swear to you. Yep, so some people scrunch it, some people fold it. We just want you to buy more. That's the end of the day.
Okay. Reusable? Can we see reusable where you could just throw it in the machine or something afterwards and then have like perpetual, like the stamp, you know, the forever stamp? Forever toilet paper?
That's an interesting idea. I'll take it back to the research and engineer department.
Thank you, Courtney, very much. Nice to have you here. How are you? You doing good too? Are you in toilet paper as well?
No, I'm not.
It's an interesting thing. What city is the screw capital of the world? And from Bettendorf, Iowa. I'm thinking it's Bettendorf. Because why would she ask, right? If Bettendorf was not the screw capital of the world, I don't.
And it's Rockford, Illinois.
Well, I knew that. See, because there's a big screw plant in...
Yeah, it's the machine tool capital. It used to be of the world. And there's several screw companies. They're the manufacturers.
Well, Rockford screw is synonymous. Rockford is synonymous with screw.
Really on Jeopardy, so that's the story.
Well, but I thought you're from Bettendorf, so it was Bettendorf.
Yeah, I know, but I grew up in Rockford.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So you still have that loyalty.
I still have that very much loyalty. In fact, the three of us all went to Rockford West High. So we're
Rockford West. The
Warriors. Yeah. The Rockford Warriors. Warrior.
West.
Oh, I said lawyers. The Rockford Lawyers. That would be the Fighting Lawyers from Rockford.
From Rockford, Illinois. Yeah.
Do you still remember the song?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
So ring out three cheers for Rockford, dear Rockford, for you know we love you so. We'll never forget you when at last we all must go.
What's wrong with you guys?
I don't know.
Rockford!
I thought it was three cheers for Rockford.
And Bettendorf. What do we have for our Rockford reunion here?
Well, the only thing that's shareable here really is wine.
More wine! Wine! A little wine?
Wine, I love wine. Thank you.
You can sit down. I'm not going to give it to you right now. You have to wait for it.
Yeah, so how about a bottle of Domaine de Sac and a bottle of Prairie Fumé, top-notch wines from the Wollersheim Winery.
Oh, perfect.
I don't even know the song. You don't deserve them.
I'll tell you about Chief Alinawek.
He was our work.
Not here about that old thing. Okay. Screw cap of the world. Do you think I am short? People say I am. Ann Nagin from Bettendorf. You got two cards in one show.
What was the question?
Do you think I'm short?
Yes. People think I am. Yeah.
Stand up, or you are. I'm sorry.
I am.
Yeah, she's standing up. Okay, that answers that question. Okay.
That was my question.
Yeah, okay. You're not getting any more wine, though, so sit down. Okay. Sit down, Ann. Maile Paalani, is that right? From Honolulu? Is that close?
Maile Paalani.
I said that.
Yeah.
I didn't say it as nicely as you said it. From Honolulu. Wow. Are you living in Honolulu yet? Or are you visiting here?
Let's just say I live between there and here sometimes.
Let's just say what?
I'm here with my Hula sisters.
You're here with the Hula sisters?
Yes.
Oh, I see something coming on here, ladies and gentlemen.
We can teach you to hula.
Okay.
Okay, bend your knees.
Bend my knees.
Yep, follow along.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to push your hips and you're going to go that way, right?
Okay,
okay,
yeah.
Here we go. One, two, three.
Ow.
One,
ow.
Two,
ow.
Three.
Ah, I heard
see? It's great exercise.
I heard something pop.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
The hula pop, I get.
The hula pop.
And are you all friends from school or from?
We all dance hula together.
Oh, that's what it
that's
is.
Why they're my hula sisters.
Okay, so we've got Miley.
Miley.
Cindy.
Elena.
Elena.
Elena's
John.
John.
You dance the hula too, John?
I narrate for their shows, and once I was embarrassingly dragged up on stage at a show to do hula. Really bad.
Yeah. You didn't wear the coconut shells or anything, did you?
No.
Yeah.
I.
Gave them a lava lava.
A lava lava.
Is it what? What?
Which you wrap around your hips so that it really accentuates it.
Okay. Is it asking too much if I could just see just a few seconds of what it's supposed to look like instead of what I was doing?
Sure. What shall we do?
It is radio.
Nobody else will see, right?
No. It's radio.
Okay.
Come on.
What are we doing?
Hula sisters. Hula sisters. A little bit here.
Okay.
We'll do something really easy. Okay. Yes, he does. Little grass shack. Aloha Lei. I'm on a bass solo. A hula solo.
My little grass shack in Kealakekua, Hawaii. I wanna be with all the kane and wahine that I used to know. What's after that? Hear the old guitars playing on the beach at Ho'onauna. I can hear the old Hawaiians saying, Komo mai no ka ua ika haleva. How it won't be long till my ships will be sailing back to Kona. That grand old place, it's always fair to see. You're telling me I'm just a little Hawaiian and a homesick island girl. I want to go back to my fish and toy. I want to go back to my little grass shack in Kealakekua, Hawaii. Where the humu humu nuku go swimming by. Repeat. Where the humu humu nuku nuku apua go swimming by. Lava.
I wish you could have been here. You got the idea. The Hula Sisters. The Hula Sisters. Wonderful. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
We have a little something for you. I bet it's wine.
How about it?
Yes.
Yes. How about a bottle of Domaine de Sac and a bottle of Prairie Fumé, both from the Wollersheim Winery?
Yeah, at least two.
They love us over there.
Mahalo nui loa.
And to you as well. Oh, thank you. That was very sweet. I loved it. And you're a CPA, besides.
Yeah, we won't say what that really stands for.
Okay. That's not certified public accountant. I've been paying this guy for no reason all these years. Oh, gosh. Okay, we're going to play another round of the what do you know? Oh, wait a minute. Red hat ladies. I cannot ignore my red hat ladies. I'm sorry I've waited this long. You got the sexy little red thing on your head.
What am I supposed to say about it?
I don't know. What were you thinking? You made that, right?
No, I didn't.
No? Who made that for you?
I bought it somewhere, but I can't remember where.
At Victoria's Red Hat Lady store, was it?
It was a long time ago. Thank you.
Very nice, but it makes me want to talk to you for a while and find out more about you. Like what you're doing, that sort of thing.
I'm retired.
You are? Okay, good.
Yeah.
It'll give us plenty of time. And you are?
Elaine.
Elaine, okay. Yeah. Are you all from the same place?
Madison, anyway.
Oh, you're all from Madison. Yeah. Elaine's from here. She meets some of our other red hat ladies. You guys do hula by any chance? Red hat, you do?
I've been to Hawaii twice. But I met you 25 years ago. Radio City.
Radio City?
Yeah.
No kidding.
When you first, that was one of your first years, I think.
Possibly.
Yeah. You had me read over the air a funny story.
Yeah.
And it was so funny, I just laughed. So I think you regretted that you had me read, but.
Yeah. I wish I had that story right now. I would give it back to you. And we'd remember that moment.
I remember the story, but. I laughed ever since.
Boy, that was a good story. I bet I didn't write it then, in that case.
I don't remember.
Yeah. And you are?
My Weezy.
Nice to see you again.
Nice to see you be here.
You're still laughing. Amazing. I hope you're still laughing when you leave. And we've got here.
I'm Nancy.
Hi.
Hi.
Have we met somewhere? Or did you dance hula or anything? We...
No, I don't.
Hang your red hat on there?
No.
Did you make?
I work in a dental office. I'm not retired yet.
is the Red Hat ladies? Is that a social organization or?
We call ourselves Mad Red Hatters.
Some people don't know exactly. Like your meetings are like bacchanals, really. Right. Anything goes. There's a lot of drinking. I understand. And
Sissy.
Yeah. And isn't there usually a man who's designated a red hat man?
Queen. This is our queen.
Excuse me, I got to meet the queen. Are you Elaine?
I am too. I'm another Elaine.
Okay, nice to meet you. And how do you get to be a red hat lady queen?
You start a chapter.
Oh, you started the chapter.
Mm-hmm.
This is in Madison?
First one in Madison.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's how you become queen, and you'll be queen for life if you want.
Yeah. You have the corgis and everything else?
Everything. The wave.
You got the wave? See that again? Once again, the wave. Elaine's got the wave. And how many in your chapter?
About 20.
Is there a Red Hat Men Auxiliary?
No, but there is a group about retired old men who get together and have...
Tired old men or...
Tired old men, yeah. There is a group that... The Romeos.
Oh, the Romeos. Have certain functions with them?
No.
Not anymore, huh? You at one time have certain functions with them?
Oh, maybe.
Thank you, Your Highness. Here we have
Mickey.
And what's your story? How long have you been a Red Hat?
I've been a Red Hatter for a number of years. I was with another group, but they disbanded, and so I joined this group.
Another Red Hat group?
Yes.
It's an rival one?
It's an international group.
Yeah. You have rumbles with other Red Hat groups?
We have pajama parties.
You rumble in your pajamas? That's kind of... You're asking for trouble there.
With Universal Sound.
Universal Sound. Okay.
Have a good time with us.
Does a young policeman appear at a certain point and do a dance for you?
No.
They won't come. They won't come and serve us. We'd like them.
Protect and serve. That's what they're supposed to do. And we have here
Nancy.
Nancy And you've been with the group for a few years? Or?
I have been, yes. Mm-hmm. I don't remember how many years, but enough.
Good. You've had a good time.
Right, yeah.
What was the next big event now for the Red Hat crew?
Well, I think we're doing a picnic.
But you can't tell me where, you have to kill me, right? Yeah.
I can't tell you where. We have different hostesses every month, and they do whatever they're going to do and tell me, and I get the word out.
You appear on a float at a certain point?
I have.
You have?
The Middleton Parade.
Oh, you've been?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, excellent. The Red Hat ladies, ladies and gentlemen. We love them. They're always sweet. They're nice. They're cool. They know how to have a good time. And they're also a service organization, right?
No.
You got to like that about them. They are not a service organization. They're a social.
Service ourselves.
Service yourself is their motto among the Red Hat. And I can relate to that. I'm thinking some wine.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Okay, wine goes to them. And then, okay, what are we doing now?
Now you're going to play the quiz.
Oh,
well, you're
we
not
going to
play the quiz, actually. But.
The What Do You Know quiz. Here's a chance. You saw what happened first time. It could happen again, but maybe not. So let's see the hands of those of you who think I could do that.
Michael, we have.
Huh? Yes? What? Well, I'm thinking this. We got a trivia crew here. And despite their name, they could be pretty smart. You never know. Come on over here if you would. Just come down here. Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. And you are?
My name is Jingbo.
Jabo?
Jingbo.
Jingbo?
Jingbo.
Jingbo.
Yes.
How do you spell that?
Exactly how it sounds. Or J-I-N-G-B-O.
Jingbo.
Yes.
Is that your given name?
It is.
Really? Okay, cool. Jingbo, give me one good reason why you should play this quiz.
I don't know how I can follow up Bill, so.
Yeah.
Figure give me a break.
That's the poorest attempt I've ever heard of it. You know. I know you're smart. Come on up here anyhow, because you're from a trivia team, so you know a lot of trivia. Jingbo. I got it now. I'm sorry, I thought it was like a DJ name or something.
Oh.
It's not, though.
No.
You don't do any DJing?
Maybe in my off time.
In your off time? Now, what is your team called? Your trivia team?
thepansexyman@hotmail.com.
Yeah.
Single lady.
Who came up with that?
Friend Danny Panyard. He was up here earlier.
Oh, he came up with that. Yeah. Funny, he couldn't remember it. What state was he in when he came up with that name, is the question.
Indiana.
Oh.
Originally from Indiana.
And this trivia thing, now this is a big deal now, trivia everywhere. Everywhere you go there, trivia team, trivia. What's the deal on that for those of us who are not aware of that?
Well, I think
trends.
It's just a place to go to make you feel good about yourself.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you know.
Does that work? You feel better about yourself afterwards?
Pretty much.
Because that's what taverns are for you, and they usually are in taverns, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, there's, Madison Trivia over bars around here, restaurants as well.
Yeah, cool. And your team, is it well-regarded as a trivia team?
I like to think so.
Okay. Does anyone else like it?
Probably not.
No. Okay. And what do you do for a living or a way of life, or are you in school?
I'm actually working here in Madison.
You are?
Or I guess Verona. Epic.
Oh, you're at Epic.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Can you tell what your job is, or do you have to kill me?
Like to not kill you.
Okay. I appreciate that.
Working as a technical services, basically.
Yeah.
Working for different organizations, helping them out with their troubleshooting issues
using
our software.
Using the software, okay. All right, and everybody's on Epic Software now. If you're not, you're probably disconnected. So that's cool. Jingbo.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I had my pen in the hand there. I almost signed your arm, and I thought you wanted to.
Like a photograph or autograph.
Yeah. So out there, we'll play along with you. That's how it works on this particular. By the way, this is not trivia. It's just
general knowledge.
My life, as I like to say, it's my life. Okay. So how could it be trivia after all these years? And some out there will play with you in this quiz. And how does that work, Sarah?
They grab their phone and dial 1-800-942-5669.
No.
That's also 1-800-WA-NO or 1-800-WHACK-NOW. And answer this qualifying question.
Yeah, they're already on there again. They do this every time.
Yeah.
You know,
I wonder if they sit there for an hour and a half and wait for the next quiz.
Try and get through, but shouldn't you wait for the question?
It seems to me that that would be the way to go. But
all right, here's the question anyhow. The Minnesota mother and son stole $5,000 worth of frozen what?
Gefilte fish. Sorry.
Gefilte fish. You ever see that movie? Gefilte fish. Try to say gefilte fish. You know, what's his name? Okay. The Minnesota mother and son stole $5,000 worth of frozen what? If you know, give us a call here. This made all the news locally. It was bounty stuff. I'll tell you that. These things have been frozen and returned for bounty money, but they had stolen them. But we want to know what exactly it was that they stole that was worth $5,000. Frozen what? Let's go to the phones right now. I'd love to see a puzzled audience. Makes me feel good. And Roland, Arkansas, right?
Good morning.
Hey, Brian.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Yeah? Got a big day planned, or what's going on?
Well, the day started by feeding the cows and chickens and then went and climbed Pinnacle Mountain, so I'm ready to take a break.
Wow.
Hopefully win a whole kielbasa of prizes on what do you know.
Did you take the cows and chickens with you when you climbed the pinnacle?
No.
They made it partway, I bet. Work. Yeah.
That's right.
That's cool. Brian. Here in Minnesota, it made the national news, I think, when this mother and son actually are alleged to have stolen $5,000 worth of frozen what for the bounty?
Frozen what for the bounty?
Yeah. Minnesota's got all kinds of bounties. They're funny that way.
$500,000 worth of frozen, I don't know, meat, chicken, cow, something like that?
No, sorry. Sorry, Brian. I guess you'd have
Same
to be
close,
from here
huh?
to know that. Yeah. Try us again, though. Goodbye.
Will do.
Dusty's in Joplin, Missouri. Hey, Dusty.
Howdy. How's it going today?
Pretty good. Yourself?
Oh, doing okay.
Yeah?
Took a pill. I thought it was my prescription, but it was a sleeping pill.
So. Oh, no.
Sit back and enjoy the buzz, I guess.
All right. You're not operating heavy machinery or anything, are you, Dusty?
Not yet. No, I'm going to wait.
Yeah, are you going to get out there today, do a little fishing maybe, or a little...
I don't know. I'm thinking there might be some beer drinking involved.
Beer drinking? On top of the pill, that's going to be quite a short day. It's going to be a short day for you.
Yeah, it may be. I didn't sleep last night, so, oh well.
So you took up for it. So you took the sleeping pill when you woke up. That's a very good idea.
Yeah, well, you know, what the heck. Make up for it.
Yeah. $5,000 worth of frozen what returned for bounty in Minnesota?
I believe it was like badger feet. Or something to that effect.
All right, I'll give you the feet part. But I don't think there's a bounty on badgers. Not even in Minnesota. Where they don't like us.
I remember hearing something about this. It was an animal feet.
Go for it. Go for it. Go ahead.
It wasn't like wolves. It wasn't anything to that effect.
Go for it, Dusty. Go for it. Go for it.
Go for feet.
Go for feet! Dusty! Man, if you were awake, you'd be just killing it right now.
Yeah.
You're good, though. Dusty, this is Jingbo, and he's a trivia guy, so you're in luck here.
Hey, that's great. Good to talk to you, Jingbo.
Yeah, it's nice hearing from you.
Okay, so the two of you are a team right now. We collaborate in this competition. And Sarah, why are you looking at me like that? What did I do?
Not a thing.
Okay. What should they do now?
They should pick a category, and there are several from which they can pick.
Well, what are they?
They are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science or odds and ends.
Okay, Dusty, you pick first one. What would you like?
I'll go with science.
Science it is. Science. All right, if we're anything like burying beetles, who makes better fathers, young or older males? At least if you're a beetle.
Wow.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, they haven't studied humans very much, but they've studied these they're called burying beetles. They're beetles who apparently bury things.
They bury their kids when they're young?
Apparently one of them does, either the older or the younger ones. And they found something about fatherhood there, about, you know, fatherhood things.
I'm thinking older.
Older, he's thinking.
Yeah, I'm thinking that too. You know, I get more experience.
Older, yes. The older burying beetles and possibly the rest of our species are better. As it says here, they'll take care of them even when they're unsure they're theirs.
Huh.
I guess it's a problem for some Beatle families.
That's one right and zero wrong.
Okay.
And the categories remaining are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
Okay. Jimbo, what would you like?
How about current events?
Current events, right out of the news. You'll nail this, I feel. Okay. Sunday's supermoon won't make you loony, but will you be more likely to give birth?
What kind of question is that?
One I have right here.
Well, I think personally it probably won't happen.
Yeah. But statistically, if you can say that, we'd be more likely to give birth on a super moon, which is what, the first full moon of June or something like that?
Well, this is like the big moon where it's closer to the Earth.
The big darn moon, yeah. Close moon.
Well, you know, there is something about moon affecting the tides and water, so maybe the water breaking. I don't know.
You can overthink these kinds of things, though, Dustin. You know,
first moon, full moon in June. Yeah. What happens 9 months before?
That was the last bad day in September or something. No.
September, Labor Day? Labor Day weekend?
Yeah, I go to Labor Day weekend.
Celebration, maybe?
I would say no.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think?
He says no.
I'm looking at the audience here.
Come on, you're the trivia guy.
I don't know if this is trivia. This is.
I told you it wasn't.
Yeah, this is your life, right?
It's trivial.
Yeah. So you're saying he says no. You gotta trust your partner. Trust your partner. Trust your partner.
Okay.
He says no.
Well, then I'll trust him.
I'm sorry. It's yet. No, it's no. It's no. Just kidding. Okay. Very good. No, got nothing to do with it.
That's two right and zero wrong.
And nothing to do with nothing. But it's fun to run around out there.
During the supermoon.
Yeah, like it's daylight, only it's not.
Mm-hmm.
In your jammies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what's left there, Sarah?
People, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
Okay. Dusty, back to you.
We'll try places.
Places. This could be anywhere. You can't find a plastic bag these days for love nor money in one of the following places. Is it Tel Aviv, Ames, Iowa, or Los Angeles?
I'm thinking Los Angeles.
Oh, you're thinking Los Angeles. What are you thinking about it, Dusty?
Well, I'm thinking that it's kind of the whole green initiative kind of a thing.
Oh. Hmm. What do they put all their swag in if they don't have plastic bags?
Somebody had to market their cloth shopping bags to somebody, so...
Yeah, okay. He says Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah, he was right last time.
So you're going
to... Go for
yes, Los Angeles passed an ordinance. All no right. more plastic bag. Holy cow! Here are the cows coming back. Okay, and cows got to be fed again, apparently.
Mm-hmm. They have won.
Oh, no kidding. Yep. Well, should they just quit and go home, or what are you saying?
I really don't know. It's up to you two. If you just quit and go home, you'll get some prizes. If you risk it all in the hopes of winning the mother load, you will go home with an enormous pile of fantastic prizes.
Well, you know, every week in trivia.
The wine.
Would you like an enormous pile?
Every week in trivia, we have a final question. We get to risk points. If we lose, you know, we lose all the points. Every time, we just go for 15. Full points.
What the heck?
It's a true story?
It's a true story.
Yeah.
True story.
It's hard to believe, but I guess it's true.
We don't win that often.
No. So you're going to go for it?
Yes, sir.
Okay, they're going to go for it. They've got to get this question right. They win everything and get it wrong, however. Just get condolences.
So the categories they can choose from are people, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
Jingle.
People.
People?
People.
People? Bear versus shark in a fight. We want to know what people think. Who do they put their money on in a bear versus shark, unlikely, granted, fight? Do more people take the bear or the shark?
Wow.
On land or in water?
Yeah.
We don't know the details. We know that a bear and a shark are fighting, okay? A bear and a shark are fighting. This could happen. It couldn't happen. It might happen.
Maybe if it was a polar bear.
Oregon, Northern California, a bear could wander out there and see a shark and get really upset at him. Or maybe think he was a salmon or something with teeth, with really big teeth.
Well, you know, they always have those movies, Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus. Yeah. You don't see any movies about bears.
No, okay. Bear versus shark. How many? This is just what people think now. How many people think the bear would win? How many people think the shark would win? Who do they think people think would win? Bear or shark?
I'd have to go bear, I'd think.
Bear. Huh? I was leaning towards shark.
He's going shark.
But you've been right so far.
Dusty's thinking bear. What's your thinking here?
Well, they've got arms and things, you know. They've got long hands. you know.
Yeah. That doesn't impress the shark, though. Really, they find them tasty, you know. Okay.
We could go shark.
I'm not saying you should. I'm just going to get your thinking. And you're thinking shark because?
Well, you always see them in movies. You know, they're the bad villains. You know?
Yeah.
You got shark. Deep Blue Sea and all those sharks, Jaws. Yeah. You don't see anything about bears.
Oh, there's a few bear movies.
Well, those are good bears, like Yogi Bear.
But barely. You're right. Not as many. Okay.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, what's going to be, bear or shark?
We go shark.
Or bear.
Shark? Or bear? Or bear?
Or bear.
Maybe bear. I think your first instinct was right.
I'm just saying this is what people think, you know. It's no right or wrong here.
Yeah, people are probably more scared of sharks. I don't know.
People are scared of sharks. They are. People seem to respect bears, though, more than they respect sharks.
Yeah.
The respect factor. Red Hat ladies, are you thinking bear or shark?
Bear.
Red Hat ladies think bear.
Might have to defer to the Red Hat ladies.
I'd almost have to go with the Red Hat ladies, definitely.
Yeah.
You think bear?
Yeah, I'm saying bear.
Bear is right. More 56% think the bear is going to win. Holy cow. Learned something.
Jingbo, add zest and flavor to your next cookout with a jar of medium sweet salsa, gluten-free and all-natural from Sanchez Specialties in Almond, Wisconsin. Then take a tour of the Bell's Museum of Asian and Judaic Art by Mr. Jack Bells himself on a DVD from the museum at Peabody Place in Memphis. Walk in the footsteps of a former South Carolina governor with favorite family hikes, an active family's guide to walking in South Carolina from the Palmetto Conservation Foundation Press, and treat yourself to the red, white, and blue sounds of classic American music from Appalachia to Rodeos on the CD What Do You Know About Copeland with liner notes for The Common Man by Michael Feldman on Nimbus Records. Dusty, discover the stories behind saddle seat pleasure and the happiest places to live in Britain in What Do You Know. Test your knowledge with the ultimate collection of amazing trivia, quizzes, stories, fun facts, and everything else you never knew you wanted to know by Michael Feldman from Bristol Park Books. Then become a presidential stylist with the Obama-rama dress-up kit, including a large magnetic Barack Obama doll, along with an impressive assortment of clothing, hats, jewelry, presidential seals, and more from the Unemployed Philosophers Guild. And enjoy A Cold Rain in Kansas and the Burpee Seed Company catalog song on the CD Same River Twice, by Don Lang on Rounder Records. And After the Sun Goes Down, play What Do You Know, the party game, including smart contestants, clever questions, and the omniscient Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at notmuch.com. Congratulations to you both.
Thank you. Well, nice job. Yeah. Very instinctive. Dusty, hang on, make sure you get that, man.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is our producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Martin Babcock, Kelly Osborne, and Diana Cook. Our technical director is Tom Blaine, with help from Brad Kohlberg and Aubrey Ralph. Very special thanks to our guest, Mary Roach. I'm Sarah Nix, hoping you'll join us next week for more of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know?
PRI, Public Radio International.